The myth that women shouldn't lift heavy is only perpetuated by women who fear hard work and men who fear strong women, by James Peppelman. And this is the quote of the day as we begin this edition of Today's Woman on Foundation Radio. With me, Ranibel Sato, we have Lawrence Wingo behind the dashboard, who is going to be technically coordinating this edition of the program. And when we come back, we discover our guest. Good day to you, dear listeners, and welcome to yet another edition of Today's Woman on Foundation Radio. It's always a pleasure welcoming you to the program because we meet dynamic and hardworking women each and every edition of the program. And today we are going to be having as guest Reverend Dr. Memo Caroline Shekina. She is a preacher who has been able to acquire for herself a doctorate degree in missiology. And so there's so much she is going to be giving us today in the program. If you have any myth, if you have any doubts or any questions pertaining to women and religion, here is the perfect opportunity. And so you are going to join me to welcome our guest, Reverend Dr. Memo Caroline. Good day to you, madam, and welcome.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on the program. You know, we always see it as a pleasure to talk to somebody who has some sort of a religious background. You know, we have our struggles, we have our challenges, but then talking to somebody who will give us insights, especially from the direction of the Bible or maybe from God's point of view, is an added advantage. You're welcome again to the program.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay, let's begin with your educational journey and maybe your motive behind taking your educational course in missiology.
Being a student in the school is not by my making going there. It was God that asked me to do that. And like I said, we've been discussing over the radio about the calling of God. God needs to give you a direction. You don't walk alone. If you have to do things without God directing you, you're just walking on your own. God is not with you. So each step we make in life, God should be the one directing us, and we need to walk along with God. Mm-hmm. Me going into missiology is a pain, is an added advantage of Jesus' calling, because Jesus himself went around preaching, and Jesus' aim why he came on earth was for missions. His heartbeats is missions, that you meet people on the rich areas, you meet people who are sick, you meet people who are hungry, people who don't know exactly their directions to take. So when you go along with the Lord in missions, it's better for you. Let us take, for instance, the woman at the well, in John 4, the woman at the well had no directions. That woman had had six husbands. So when Jesus met her at the well, she told her life story to Jesus. And then Jesus redirected her steps and told her, Madam, even this husband with whom you are now with is not your husband. And her story changed from there. Mm-hmm. Jesus made her now to be an evangelist because she had been lost. Just because she obeyed and she desired to give Jesus the water and to receive the water Jesus wanted to give her. And the Lord opened her eyes spiritually. She was no more blind to see what she had been missing. And then she carried up her mission from that day. She started being an evangelist. She was an evangelist. And she evangelized all the women. And she evangelized her village, her city, for the Lord.
Okay, she brought gospel to her whole community.
That's right.
Now, you were talking about the motive behind that. We equally want to hear your educational career.
Okay, I studied, I have a diploma in divinity. I have another diploma. Mm-hmm. in theology. I have a degree in theology. I have a missiology in master's, demonology in master's, and in missiology, I have a doctorate degree. And I also studied demonology with a BA.
Okay.
Yeah, and I studied chaplaincy.
Okay, all in Cameroon?
No, not in Cameroon. I didn't do any of my studies in Cameroon.
Okay,
I
studied Nigeria?
In Nigeria, and I went to South Africa and visited other countries for courses and conferences.
Now, were there any, in the course of your study and your experience as a preacher, yeah, because you are not just a preacher called, you have equally gone through some educational training.
That's
and
right.
So, were there, are there some false myths you have discovered about women? For example, that women shouldn't do this, the Bible prohibits women to do this. Is it, are they just myths or are they religiously backed?
We have our own churches. Dogmas. There are churches that have their dogmas about women and about men. You know, but I don't want to call names of churches. There are many churches that believe that a woman should not stand on the pulpit to preach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's a big mistake. What do we call a pulpit? A pulpit is where you stand to minister the word. A pulpit can be in the marketplace. I preach in the market. I preach in buses. I go around and I preach. So when the main thing they can limit women is a wrong, I think the idea is not right that the woman should not stand in front of the church where men in the building, the church is a building, but a church in the spiritual meaning is the believers, those who have believed, those who are born again. That is mm-hmm. a church. So they should not limit women, that they should not stand in the church, in the congregation to minister. But most of those people use their dogmas. You know, mm-hmm. to think they can humiliate women. But I've always told the men when I meet them, I say, you can't stop me not to minister because you didn't call me. God does not come to take permission from anybody to call anybody whosoever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit realm, we are all male. There's no female in the spirit realm.
Okay.
All of us are male. Listen, there's no Gentile, there's no Jew. There's no woman angel. All mm-hmm. are angels.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a problem that some people have. You know, so at times men feel inferior that women stand in front of them. But the greatest thing and the most beautiful thing that I always feel comfortable with it is that when Jesus rose from the dead, the women went to anoint Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went, the tomb was empty. And they were crying to find out who has stolen their master, Jesus. And Mary was not comfortable because that was a woman that Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. So she loved her. She loved him.
Mm-hmm.
That is the same Mary that the brother was sick, Lazarus, and they called for Jesus. So the Mary had a connection with Jesus and she refused leaving the tomb. And she was weeping. And that was the woman that Jesus appeared to her. I said, woman, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for my Jesus. Do you know where they have kept him? Please, can you give him to me? And then he commissioned her. That was a great commission Jesus ever did, to commission a woman. He said, go ye and tell my disciples. He was sending a woman to the men. Where were mm-hmm. the men? They had run and they were hiding.
Mm-hmm. Disciples of Jesus.
They ran and they were hiding. So Jesus was the one who sent Mary to them to tell them that he was risen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he went and said, I saw him. I spoke with him.
And you know, that is in the religious arena. But now coming back to society, this myth is equally eating up every one of us because men think that women were created from their own rib, and as a substitute, some men have that notion that women should never measure up to men. Women should never be the ones to, for example, bring information, like how Mary was commissioned to okay. bring the information to the rest of the men. So you see that it goes right into society, not even only in the church or in the pulpit and stuff like that. And I think biblically, it's not right, as you are saying a while ago.
Yeah, biblically it's not right. You know, that's when Jesus was on earth, you know, with the Jewish culture, they said when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, women were not counted and children, except you are the age of 30, a man, that's when you become a man in the Jewish culture.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus knew at the right time when he was going to call out the woman. That is when he died, he resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
He ascended to heaven. And he asked the disciples not to leave the upper room, not to leave Jerusalem, until the Holy Spirit must have come down, and he will give them power, boldness in Acts 1 and 2 to go out and minister.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Holy Spirit came down in the upper room, there were women in the upper room, and they equally received the Holy Spirit. They actually received it. So Jesus knew at the right time when he was going to send down the Holy Spirit so that women could do things the way they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was a man. You know, they wanted to kill him severally. But when he becomes spirit, you cannot catch the spirit. You can't even see the spirit. So he knew at the right time that women were going to start doing the work. And that's why you find a lot of women going around today ministering the word. You know, they are evangelists, they are apostles, they are pastors, mm-hmm. they are teachers. They go everywhere. And the most interesting thing is that Jesus did not say women should disobey their husbands. No. You must be submissive. And then the man, love your wife. Woman, be submissive to your husband. That is where at times women have a problem, because some women don't want to submit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't submit, it's not good.
Yeah.
When you get married, that's why it's better, rather you don't get married than to get married to the wrong partner. I'm talking both ways.
Okay.
You rather stay single than to get married to the wrong partner. Or you marry very, very late in your age. Be sure that's the partner, your spouse, God wants you to be with. Because when you get married to the wrong person, he gives you a lot of limitations.
Mm-hmm.
He will tell you, you're a woman. You need to submit. That's what the Bible says. You understand what I mean?
Yeah,
and when the woman gets married, there are some women who get married. They don't even respect their husbands. I don't agree with such women. Because if you are an evangelist, or you are whatsoever God has called you to do, whether a teacher or whatsoever, you must submit. And submission don't only mean that you say, good afternoon, sir. No. The man needs to give you a go-ahead, where to go to, what to do. If you married me, for instance, like a pastor, if I get married to the wrong choice, if I get married the wrong person,
mm-hmm.
it will be difficult for me to carry on my ministry.
Yeah.
Because he will tell you, sit down. If I disobey my husband and I go to the pulpit, I'm preaching to myself. I'm not preaching the word of God.
Okay.
Because you didn't submit to your husband. You must submit.
Okay, now we also always face these situations where we see some women, they really have some drive or passion to do something for maybe their community and maybe for God.
That's right.
Like you have your calling.
That's
you have
right.
that drive right. to preach to people. But then at times we get married to, we could say the wrong person or
That's
the right person still, mm-hmm. but they have their own idea. What women should do. So now I want to ask, what is the difference between submission and maybe limitation? For example, how do you cope or how do you bypass that challenge of suppression? Let me call it suppression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how do you cope with suppression when you actually have a drive to do something for your community and for God?
Okay. First of all, that's why we say the woman must be prayerful. You can do everything on your knees. That is the first medication women should have. They must be prayerful.
Mm-hmm.
Go down on your knees if anything is happening. The Bible says in the Psalms that the heart of the king is in the palms of God. He tilts it where he wants to. When you are a prayerful woman, God will do things for you. He will speak to your husband. I will give you an example. One of my spiritual mothers before I came. She had a calling. She was in the University of Calabar. And she got married early.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew that she was to be a pastor. So she went and collected the forms. And she got married to a man from the Munchi areas, where it was hardly heard that a man from that area was a child of God. And then he told the Lord, if this man you have shown me is my husband, tell him that I have the calling to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So when this man went to the head office, he came from the Munchi area, and then the church in Aba wanted him to be a pastor. He said, I don't have the calling, but my wife has the calling. Wow. They had never discussed that. Wow. My spiritual mother told me that personally. And she came and he came and told the wife, sir, the church wanted me to do this, but I said I don't have the calling. So you go and register.
Mm-hmm. And that was a man who that was not, a man. It was not, yes, in their culture to, yes, even believe God, not, yes, to talk about becoming pastors.
That's right. So the woman, Reverend, that's the first lady who came in the Presbyterian Church in Nigeria. And she's breaking grounds. The Lord is using her. And she's so submissive to the husband.
Wow.
The husband is just a prayer warrior. The husband is a prayer warrior. He intercedes for her. You need to see him dance in church. She cannot even dance, but the husband does the dancing. I does the praying.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Because when you submit, you tell God that, Lord, touch this man's heart. Talk to him. Mm-hmm. God does that. You don't fight with a man.
No.
You know, when you want to fight, what you do is don't get married. I remember this, my spiritual mother told one of her friends who was marrying Asa. He said, you have sold your rights. So stop fighting. Everything you want to do now, ask God. We know you're zealous to work for the Lord, mm-hmm, but your husband has taken over you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to ask him everything or tell him everything you want to do. You know, there are some women who they have positions in their churches. For instance, they have crusades. They just leave the house. They don't cook. They don't do anything.
Yeah, they're always
and they are
so
going
busy
to the church. No. That is not a woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about it.
And, you know, most often such things always scare women. Some women who are really passionate are scared of getting married because they feel they'll be limited.
That's right. Not everybody must get married. If you think you can live alone and do what the Lord wants you to do, that's mm-hmm okay. But if you think you cannot, you need to talk. Both of you need to discuss. Mm-hmm. Both of you discuss. And see,
put everything in prayers.
Yeah, put everything in prayers and put everything on the table. This is what we are going to do. This is what you are going to do. I know a lot of men who have encouraged their women to do great things.
Mm-hmm.
Very great things. They are behind. Their women are great.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing it. There are men like that. Even today.
Yeah. And we pray many more men inculcate that habit because there's something going on now. So many people are acknowledging men who push their women's,
yes,
their women ahead.
Yes.
Because they say behind every successful woman, there is equally
a strong man
who is pushing her ahead.
That's right.
So we are calling not only on women to get involved, but equally,
yes,
on men. Yeah, to accept their wives, accept that they can
accept the gifts God has inculcated in them so that they can use it, you know, to God's glory, impact their community, impact mm-hmm their nations, and other things like that.
Okay, we are going to get a musical break, so that we catch our breath. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk about some of the challenges you equally faced
in your
educational course and career as a woman, and equally the quote of the day.
I've run out of answers, I've run out of time, and I'm so confused that I'm losing my mind. It's gonna take a miracle to help me this time. I'm traveling a road that has not one sign. Let the bell in my heart ring. Oh, this is my cry. Hey, this is my plea. You see, I need an angel. I'm calling an angel. Send me an angel. This one tree can't understand why I'm sinking so deep. Help me, help me. Won't you help? let the bell in my heart ring. Oh, this is my cry. This is my plea.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Thank you very much, Lawrence Wingo, for that beautiful musical piece. Now we'll come back to you, Reverend Dr. Memo Caroline. Yeah, we want to find out also some of the challenges that you faced as a woman in the course of your career and how you were able to overcome such challenges. Because I know as a woman, you must have encountered one or two challenges.
That's
so
right.
What were they and how were you able to conquer them?
You know, one of the challenges I really faced when I left for school was, you know, when you give your life to Christ, there are a lot of things you keep back, you know. You don't do the same things. I was not born again. I was born just like any other person. I lived a life just like any other person. But when I had a call, it was so difficult. Because, you know, there's one thing. Men love running after women.
Okay.
So that's one of the challenges I had even in school. Even my classmates, you know, some will come, I want to marry you. So I'll just look at them and I laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some nasty things we would say, not really nasty, but some jokes. I said, you can't even take care of your school fees. And you want to marry an imported woman like me, you know. So I had to really run away from men. I had to be so prayerful because there were a lot of names they gave me in school because I was so hard. You know, with them, you know, mm-hmm. because I knew I was coming far and I knew how far God had taken me from.
Okay.
And I knew my background. I knew my country. So I was focused just to do what God wants me to do because I said all the other things I did, it didn't pay me anything. So now I need to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenges, one, were men. Secondly, the language, you know, the Nigerians, they have a different tongue. You know, to speak, you know, I could not really speak the tongue well in school, you know, and then another challenge I had, living in the hostel with people who have never lived in the hostel, it was not comfortable at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had some challenges with my lecturers, you know, that the things at times, that had some things to do with school, that I saw spiritually, and maybe they didn't see it. Maybe God did not want to show them, but he showed me what he wanted me to see, mm-hmm. and what he wanted me to tell the rector about mm-hmm. the school.
Now, we are talking about, you know, not many women, the proportion of women to men in pastor schools,
that's
is
right.
it has a wide difference.
That's right.
Now, we are looking at maybe some of the challenges that you encountered being a woman, a student pastor. Yep. I don't know if there were many female student pastors in your class. Were there as many as the men?
No. Normally the men are always more than the women in mm-hmm. class. You know, like our subjects, you know, there were things that, even in school, we had that problem in school, that women, they stay quiet when mm-hmm. we are talking here in class. Women should not talk.
Yeah, what can you say? Your opinion doesn't count.
Your opinion does not count here. When we are talking, shut up. They used to tell us all that in school. You know, mm-hmm. but thank God for our lecturers. He will let us know that women are called equally just as men. Mm-hmm. God wants to use the people who are ready, the vessels that are ready. God can call you, but if you don't let go yourself for God to use, he dumps you mm-hmm. and goes along with the other people who want to hear him, who want to work with him and stuff like that.
Yeah, what, according to you, what are some of the challenges or difficulties or infringements that women face in the field? For example, female pastors or just females?
That's right. We have a lot of problems in the churches. Men, women. Many or some churches just believe that women should not even stand at the altar, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing women can do in the church is to be in the praise team. Or
yeah.
what they can do to be ushers. Or when they have programs, the women can bring water to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
That's some churches. Mm-hmm. And the women in those churches can only mount their pulpit when they have a day like the Women's Day mm-hmm. in church. That's the only time they have the opportunity, you know, to come to the altar.
Very
and
true.
Minister. Yes. And I think I have told most of the pastors that I know. I say, God does not ask your opinion to call anybody. God has a right. So if you have your dogmas, because even during meetings, when pastors have meetings, those same people come to those meetings. And they want to challenge the women. I remember there was a time in Douala when I was in Cameroon and we're supposed to register like pastors in Douala. There were some pastors who did not want me to. I was the only woman who was attending that meeting.
Mm.
And thank God for one of our bishops who is of late Panjafu. He said, no, this one is called. I think I know her. And he registered me and paid. He said, no, you don't do that. Because women are the people carrying the gospel. There's no way a woman wants to go to, or what she wants to get, she won't get. She will get it. Because they have the passion. They are broken. The way God has made us, we are different from men. We are not hard mm-hmm. as men. That's mm-hmm. why women cry all the time. Because when they see things that are not palatable, they cry. Even yeah. in prayers, they cry. That's why you have a lot of prayer groups that are women groups.
Mm-hmm.
You hardly find prayer groups that are men in mm-hmm. the world.
Mm-hmm.
Most are women, apart from the full gospel businessmen. But the rest are women who are heading those groups, and there are women that are there. The men can just come in, but the majority of the people are women.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the church, it's not easy with us. I remember there was a church in Nigeria that never had women like pastors. And one day, the man just got up during a conference and said, who are the pastors who want to resign from the church? 3,000 pastors got up and resigned. That is when they started recruiting women.
From a whole ministry?
Yes, a ministry.
Okay. 3,000
pastors resigned that day.
Yes. Is it that they were disgruntled or let's just deviate a bit?
No, they didn't want to. Maybe God just wanted to show him that, look,
women are called. Yeah,
and women are much more stable. Women are much more stable. Give a woman what to do, you will see she will do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she'll produce the results.
She'll produce your results. Mm-hmm. She won't give excuses. She will go to any length
mm-hmm.
to do what she thinks is right to do.
And you know, it's quite sad because even in other churches, we would want to talk about, for example, the Muslim culture. Yeah, we excuse ourselves for using that. But you discover that at times, especially in the Muslim cultures, women are not even supposed to get to a particular place in the mosque. I wonder if there have ever been any female imam. Or I just believe that, especially there, you see that women are always relegated to one corner or to the background or limited.
Yeah, that's their culture.
Mm-hmm.
They are. But I'm happy that they even go to the mosque and they pray even in their homes. They pray in their homes, they go to mosque. So mm-hmm. that is something else. Even in our own churches, in some of our churches, the men have a wing to stay, a women have a wing to stay. In our own churches here too. There are some churches like that.
Mm-hmm.
The men don't sit with their wives, which I think is even better for the men to sit with their wives, so that if the minister is ministering and something, you know, gives you, you know, an effect,
mm-hmm.
you can hold your wife's hand and say, did mm-hmm. you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Or even touch it, did you get that? You know, you're driving the message down. But when you find a man sitting his own way, the woman is sitting his own way, I don't understand. So it's not only in the mosque. Mm-hmm. In some churches, those things happen. So there are some dogmas and some doctrines and some behaviors. I don't know how they came with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not only the mosque. Even in our churches, we have our own problems.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at women now in the church compared to in the years past. Are many more women getting to become pastors?
That's
compared
right.
to in the past?
Right.
Yeah, because I want to believe that women are changing, people's minds are equally changing.
That's
and
right.
women are being emancipated somehow.
That's
so
right.
is this emancipation equally going into the religious world?
Yeah, it is. Actually, more women are in the ministry now. I'm not talking about whether you're called or not. I'm just saying in a nutshell, a lot of women are in the ministry today. There are a lot of women in the ministry, and we just thank God for that. I hope they're really called to come into the church, not just coming because everybody now wants to be a pastor. Before, you being a pastor, that's the poorest profession or the poorest calling. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to marry a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody wants to be called a pastor. I don't know.
Oh, mama pastor.
Yes, mama or mama pastor.
Okay.
Everyone wants to get married to a man of God, you know, to be identified and mama and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, it's interesting to know that Reverend Dr. Memo Caroline Shekina is equally into the arts domain, the arts company, entertainment company.
Right.
She equally trains models.
Yes.
Yeah, she does styling, everything about the entertainment industry.
Right.
She's into that.
Right.
So can we know how you have been able to blend religion and entertainment? Because it's something,
yeah.
for me, it's something like two worlds apart. But then you have been succeeding in the two domains. So can we know how you blend them?
We thank God. Actually, when God, like we said, before you are conceived in your mother's womb, God knows whom you are going to be. So actually, I started with arts. Although when I was young, I was in the Sunday school, I was a YP leader, you know, I was everything in the YP because I grew up in a small village. Not really small, but my father was a missionary. So there, my father was a principal, teachers training college. So we were the people were looking up to us. So we had to meet up with the task. My father and my mother had to teach us how to run the Sunday school. You didn't even need to come like a Sunday school teacher. And I would take the lessons in primary school.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up like that. But when we grew up like that, I was more in the arts field. You know, like choreography, I trained choreographers. The first race of hope, the Guinness Race of Hope, I was
mm-hmm.
the one who trained the Carnival Girls.
Wow.
That we worked with them, Sweet Foundation, I trained the Carnival Girls. So it has been something in the family, because
mm-hmm.
my father was a teacher and he loved acting, he loved playing of games. So those things, we just picked over it. It was not like I was trained. I picked it over,
mm-hmm.
stylized, designing. I designed most of my things. Even my Bamenda dresses, I designed them
myself.
So as I got into that area, I was a stylist. I went to Italy, I went to France, you know, for some small courses.
Wow.
And then that's how actually I could think the Lord called me from there. Because I was working with Blast Design. I was doing publicity for Blast Design.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the calling. For about 10 years, I refused. I refused following the Lord. Mm-hmm. Until when he seized my peace. You know, when God calls you and when you are so stubborn, he lets you. But he pushes you to the wall. He takes you gradually and says, okay, let us see who is stronger than who. So when I went to South Africa for All African Markets exhibition and the Eco World exhibition, and that was where the calling came so strong. And he asked me to leave back to Cameroon. That's how I came back to Cameroon.
So how did he ask you? You talk as though it's some sort of a discussion. How did God actually ask you to come back, or how were you able to identify God's voice in the midst of all that, your busy schedule?
That's right. God is so accurate. When God has mapped you out, you cannot escape. I was so velvet. I knew that was God. I said, okay, I've heard, sir, I'm going back. That's what actually I told him. Sir, I've heard, I'm going back.
So what was the particular medium God used to make you say, okay, sir, I'm going back?
The medium, he made me, I didn't have peace again.
Okay.
My peace was seized. And then before I even traveled to South Africa, in my room, I had a mini studio near golf club. The presence of the Lord was there for 2 months. I could see the Lord. I could see tears running down his eyes.
Oh.
And I told him, if it's me you're waiting, you're going to wait for a long time because I'm not ready. I'm the first. I need to help my parents. My parents are missionaries. Why don't you take my little brother, Michelle? He said, it's you I want. I said, then you wait for long. You wait for long. And when his time came, he asked me, I went to South Africa, I was running. When I went there, he asked me to come back. And when I came back, I did not enter my house. I was out for almost 8 months. I just asked my neighbor, Wedicia, I said, please, can you go to my house and take out everything? I'm gone. Just take everything. I'm taking just my clothes. And I did not enter my house. I left back to Douala. And I saw my friend, Crystal Leaks. She's a stylist. Mm-hmm. She's a woman of God. And I was crying. She was just laughing with her husband. And the husband said, pourquoi tu ne veux pas accepter l'appel de Dieu? Il faut l'accepter. I was just weeping the whole time.
And you were lucky to have people who could hold your hand.
Yes.
Like your friend in Douala.
Yeah. Madame Germaine and the husband. He said, tu ne veux pas épouser le Seigneur? Tu ne veux pas? And I left the following day to Nigeria as he asked me to go. And I lived in the church for 6 months, sleeping on the church in the benches in the Presbyterian Church Yaba. People could not teach me. My pastors could not teach me. Because they said, this calling is a calling we have never seen. Just let the Holy Spirit deal with you the way he wants you to deal. I lived in the church for 6 months, sleeping on the benches, until he gave me direction, the school, where to go to.
Wow.
And that's how.
And you followed and you were able to get your doctorate degree in missiology.
Yeah. And there was something he told me. He said, I will raise men in Nigeria to sponsor you.
Wow.
That was a promise. And he did it.
Wow. And you were able to finish your
course. And I was able to finish.
And now that you are a preacher with all of these degrees and diplomas in your portfolio, is there any contrast or conflict of interest between preaching and still in the entertainment industry?
It goes the same. Because the Lord uses you with your ministry, with the word, you know, to blend what he wants to say. There's nothing that I'm doing that is not in the Bible.
Okay.
It's in the Bible.
You know, especially modeling. Yeah, because we are also into modeling.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I met a preacher one time. Mm. And he was seriously talking ill about modeling. He says no child of God can ever be a model because they have to walk past many groups of people. They have to showcase every kind of dress or form and things like that. And so he looked at it as totally contrasting with the will of God. I don't know how you see that.
You know, that if God has not opened your eyes to see, like Miss Nigeria Vuchi, I've forgotten. She was from Redeemed Church.
Oh, wow.
She was from Redeemed Church.
And that pastor was actually from the Redeemed Church.
Yes, from Redeemed Church. So it depends how God trains somebody. God may want to take you to be a model, top model in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with people going around with bikinis. The one I like is when you wear your dresses like in blouses and we don't wear bikinis. You just wear a normal, nice dress. You know, I go around, do your presentation. The pastor who does not like modeling, he mm-hmm. does his work. He goes around naked, I'm sure, and his wife. Yeah, because the wife, too, is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They do makeup. They dress beautifully. You know, that is for a contest. If God wants you to be a model, mm-hmm. a top model, he takes you there.
Wow.
If he wants you to be a dancer, he takes you there. Anything one God wants you to do, he takes you there. It doesn't mean that because you are in the church, you will not bring your
artistic calling
or whatsoever you want to do. Then we should not even have musicians.
Yes, that's always
because we have gospel ministers who are of the church. We have pianists, we have Congolese in the church. We even have DJ people who go for competitions out of the Nigeria, out of Cameroon. I don't think Cameroon does that, but Nigerians are always the first for DJ. And they are boys in the church.
You see.
So we don't need to limit. That means we should not even play football. Yes, because we are in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be children of God in everything we do, you know, to make Jesus, you know, lift him up in yeah. all areas in life. Who are the people who designed the plane? The Wright brothers, the Reverend Wright brothers. Mm. They were reverend's children, the Reverend Wright brothers. Mm. So why now it's easier for us to travel all around the world
mm-hmm,
because by using the planes?
Yeah, they were able to use their talents.
Yes,
and
their
expertise.
Talents and their gifts that mm-hmm. God had given them. So God gives everybody a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And when God gives you that gift, use it to his glory.
Yeah. And there's equally this issue of makeup. You know, some people think makeup is actually not in calling with God's plans.
That's what it says, Jezebel and things
some
like that.
Some say God created you beautiful. And you are still trying to add, meaning that God didn't do it well.
That's right.
And to the extent that some people even criticize women of God, we put on makeup.
That's
but
right.
You are equally into modeling and you do makeup sometimes. So how do you see that?
No, I do makeups. Only that you don't exaggerate. Make them.
But there's nothing wrong with makeup.
The Lord has not told me something is wrong about it.
Okay.
If the day he tells me, I will stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything we do, the Bible says you do everything what? It should be moderate, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Even eating. Do everything with moderate.
Mm-hmm.
You must be moderate in everything you do. I will not accept you putting about like being a parrot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a parotic makeup, but just do a normal, beautiful mm-hmm. makeup. It makes you sneak.
Yeah.
I like men who are sneak. I don't make up a lot. I make up once in a while, but I have nothing against makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing against.
You know, somebody equally also told me that God made the world very beautiful, but it is up to us to keep it beautiful.
That's right.
Yeah, for example, you don't throw yourself anyhow.
That's right.
Or you don't just leave yourself because you don't want to stop God's creation.
That's right.
Yeah. And then there's also this thing, since you studied demonology, I'll seize the opportunity to ask. There was once I came in contact with somebody who said he was able to, he has lived for about 11 years
mm-hmm.
beneath the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He has lived with apes were teaching him.
Okay.
And so he said some lipsticks are mm-hmm. made of, he caught mm-hmm. some certain things mm-hmm. I cannot really remember.
Yeah.
But then I have always been asking myself, does that really exist?
Mm-hmm.
Do spirits exist? Everything we use or everything we put, we don't even know from where they are coming from. Should we be reserved somehow? Should we be scared?
That's
are there
right.
spirits ruling over us
That's
without
right.
us knowing?
Yeah. We cannot rule that out. They are spirit beings. Even us, we are spirit beings. So what we want to do is, what I always advise, that everything you want to buy,
mm-hmm.
ask God to open your eyes to see. And in case you buy them without even knowing, pray against every demonic thing that had been prayed over the thing. Or anybody who has used it. You know, we buy this occasion, the shoes and clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Pray against that. Anybody who had want these things that was possessed.
And when we pray, everything can end.
Everything can end.
Okay.
You pray and cover it with the blood of Jesus.
And it's
even
done.
Your food that you buy in the market, you need to pray over it. Why do we pray for eating?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all those things, yes. But if God opens your eyes to see, fine and good.
Mm-hmm.
Fine and good. But if he does not, pray about it.
Okay, can we equally know how, for example, evil spirits work? How can an evil spirit disturb you? Is it true? Is it by passing through items like that? Or we always hear that evil spirits...
Yeah, we cannot rule that out. They can. They can pass through things like that, you know, that mm-hmm. you bought and you are using it without knowing. Because now we have the marks. We have 666. You can be possessed by 666. You know, 669 is available. It's real. The church exists now. I'll even show it to you when we finish on my phone. It exists, and they put the mark 666.
Oh.
It exists. We don't rule that out, that we need to pray. And some of those things too have been possessed, and that we use and we eat and stuff like that. Like I saw on the WhatsApp, they took Henneken
mm-hmm.
and it was wrapped with Pepsi, the
mm-hmm.
can,
mm-hmm.
with can. So they can send that to the Arab world. Because they don't accept alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So you can drink those things. I'm just giving an example.
Yeah.
That things, people camouflage.
Yeah, they wrap things
They camouflage under some other thing. Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful and bring, but that is not the real thing they are bringing.
Mm-hmm.
They can even initiate you into a society. Even just opening at their website, they may initiate you.
Ooh.
Hypnosis. We call them hypnosis in demonology. So those things exist. We cannot rule those things out. Some people even using lipsticks, yes, they can.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to really be prayerful that God should help us, and then we should see better and stuff like that.
Okay, there's this other one. I'll seize the opportunity and ask, since you are here, let me clear all of my myths as well. What about ghosts? Do ghosts really exist?
Yeah, they do exist. Devils exist. Demons exist. It's in the Bible.
Mm.
Magicians
exist.
So
can somebody die and watch over their loved ones still living?
Your spirits don't die. Spirits don't die.
Okay.
When you die, your spirit does not die.
Because we always see situations, especially in movies, where a father can die and then come back to direct the children. Is that possible?
Your parents, let me tell you, there are things that happen in some families. Although some people don't believe, but when you die, your spirits never die. Nobody's spirits die. That is when they will be good. When we resurrect from heaven, the rapture, we'll be with Jesus. There's hell, there is heaven. They are your spirits that come back.
Okay. And some people equally say, for example, let's say there is no hell, no heaven, because they say when you die, you reincarnate in another world, so there's some sort of a recycling.
Do you know the story about the rich man and Lazarus?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, the rich man had to go to hell.
Yes, and he saw Lazarus in heaven,
mm-hmm.
and he was begging. Lazarus, Father Abraham, help me now. Send me back to preach to my five brothers on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And you see both people. Those who are in heaven, you see them. Those who are in hell, you see them. But you cannot cross.
Okay. All right. We'll take a little break. We'll take a brief break. And when we come back, we talk about the quote of the day. Today's woman knows no fear but is limited by respect and dignity. Today's woman has virtue and accomplishment has become a fashion trend. Despite the fact that some women still feel limited, unfit, and unimportant, yet only today's woman has the keys to completely redeem her peers and society by preaching against excesses and restoring dignity.
Today's women, they need to be God-fearing, God-loving, and they need to be virtuous women, that is, hardworking and industrious. and they need to be supportive to their husband, to their children, family, and the community as a whole.
Cameroon woman of today is not like the one yesterday. Not that we've been changed biologically, we are who we are. But we have now, I think we have been emancipated to a level that we think we can stand ourselves. Compare with the men, but not overthrowing the men. We know they are ahead of us.
I can see that today's woman is really an evolved woman. It's no longer a woman who thinks that the best she can do is be in the kitchen and cook for the husband. She's a woman who is more assertive. And I can see that they too, they are doing their best to make sure that their rights are respected.
I see today's woman as a woman who brings love, comfort, peace and prosperity in home and in society.
One thing I believe God is that God has put so much into women that if they submit themselves under the care and under the hand and the leadership of God, God will use them to build the community that we desire in our time. In Jesus' name.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are still on Foundation Radio, and the program is Today's Woman. And we have been talking to Reverend Dr. Memo Caroline Shekina, who is a preacher of the Shekina Glory Missions. And coming back to you, Reverend Dr. Memo, some people always, I don't know if truly to you, hell and heaven exist, because some advance that your heaven, you meet your heaven here, you meet your earth here, depending on how you have lived your life. Something like a karma. If you give good, goodness comes back to you on this same earth, and if you give bad things, and bad things will come back to you. But then, is there actually an afterlife like heaven and earth?
Of course, there's a heaven and earth. There's eternity in hell and eternity in heaven. You know, that's what we say, the Bible had foretold us, watch out, there are false prophets on earth preaching, false evangelists, false pastors, false teachers. Jesus has told us that they will come like wolf in sheep clothing, mm-hmm. you know, to derail us. You know, Jesus, if hell does not exist and heaven, Jesus would have not died for us. He came down and died for us because he wanted us to make heaven.
All right. Let's. Our time is fast approaching. Let's talk about your driving force. What has been your driving force, especially in ministry and in your talent, in your artistic calling? What has been your driving force?
My driving force has been Jesus. Because I said, if some man could leave his heavenly kingdom, his splendor, and come down to die on earth. He lived on earth just like you and me. Mm-hmm. That means there is something. That's why I always say, and I always have in my mind, that I will risk everything not to miss heaven. I will risk everything mm-hmm. not to miss heaven.
Oh, wow.
Because I know heaven and hell is real. You can see how we're suffering here on earth. Do you want to continue suffering? Although I have peace, even when things are not really going fine.
Yeah, the peace of
the
Lord.
The peace of the Lord is in me. And there's one thing that makes me happy, accountability. Even all what is happening in Cameroon and all over the world, people embezzling money, people doing things, building skyscrapers, I always have in me, I say, everybody will give an account to God. When people are crying every day, things are not moving, I said there will be accountability. So don't worry. Just do the right things. Mm-hmm. Don't follow the people to do the wrong things. Do the right things. And you will see that at the end, you'll be much more happier. You'll be living with the Lord in the splendor, in the house that we never built with hands, that the master himself built with glittering gold and every wonderful thing, angels singing every moment. You'll be part of the heavenly choir.
Okay,
that's my force. That I want to see Jesus. Mm-hmm. I want to see all those who have gone to glory and be singing in that choir where work will start on earth on the new heavens, because we will be working. You know, Jesus will be the light, there will be no sun else. Jesus will be the light that will be radiating.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see a wonderful heavens already
mm-hmm. wow.
while you are living on this earth. So mm-hmm. just focus to that heaven at the last time, the last moments of your life, mm-hmm. that you will live there forever and ever. The eternity will never end.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I equally want to make heaven Hallelujah. Is actually to see what heaven really looks
Hallelujah.
Like. Or what this God we hear yeah. of what he actually looks like. Or right. what exactly
you
is that
already
glory
see
of God.
When you read Revelation, many preachers run away from Revelations because Revelation was given to John mm-hmm. in the island of Patmos to write to the churches, mm-hmm. telling us how the heavens are. You can see this earth that is even beautiful when you go to other countries, the way they have been built. Then you can imagine the one that Jesus himself has built with his hands.
Okay, let us briefly talk about the quote of the day as we close. The myth that women shouldn't lift heavy is only perpetrated by women who fear hard work and men who fear strong women.
That's right.
By James Peppelman. I don't know if you have a contribution on the quote of the day, but I particularly chose that because okay. it's like saying that women are limited because they are limited by fear or some sort of
That's right.
yes or by men who fear strong women. You know, there are some men who will not want to I have know. Women who are stronger or I who know. Might be above
yeah,
them somehow, maybe opinion wise, intellectually, I and know. Things like that. And so this person is saying women are limited by fear and by some men who fear that.
That's right. What I will encourage women, I agree with what you've said. Mm-hmm. I will encourage women to exhibit their talents, talk to their husbands, darling, whatever, I don't know how you call your husband, and say, darling, look, I have this thing in me, burning in me. Please, can you give me an opportunity? I know men who have made their wives to become what they want
mm-hmm.
because they want a successful woman. There are some men who cannot marry women who don't travel. There are some men, I know a man, he said, my wife cannot travel, stay for 2 months without traveling abroad. I need her to travel, to meet other women, to have
wow.
experiences, to feel happy. He just tells the wife, do what you think makes you happy.
Wow.
Yes. Take her to the gym. You
those
want
are
to
real
dance.
Men.
Yes. They, those men are real. And women too. There are women too who don't like their men to be out because they are scared that girls will run after their husbands.
Yeah.
So what you have to do, you just need to be prayerful. Say, God,
Certainly.
Keep my husband. Blind the eyes of any wicked woman who is looking at him, who wants to lure him.
Mm-hmm.
Please, God, blind such eyes of those women. And the men too should pray those prayers.
The same prayers.
My darling, you are beautiful. But I say you are for me and no man will see you.
Amen.
You know, let them only admire the beauty in you that God has created, but not wanting to go out with you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Reverend, can you briefly just address the women, because it's a women's program.
That's
can
right.
you briefly address the women as a reverend, as a doctor? Can you tell women some of the things they should know, maybe briefly as we close the program?
I would like to tell the women that whatsoever you have in you, like a talent or something that is burdening you, you know, that you want to really sell out, you know, use that zeal that God has given, or the zeal that I have, just key into the zeal and start doing what you think is right for you to do. But you need to be submissive to your husband
mm-hmm.
because that's where many women have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Submission. If you are submissive to your husband, there's nothing he will not do for you. There's nothing he will not allow you to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place he will not want you to go if only you are submissive. So I'll advise the women to be submissive and let them be prayerful. They must be hardworking. They need to stop going around gossiping, because that's what most women do. It does not help you. Just do what you think your child, you like the way your girl child should grow and be.
Okay.
And I'll advise the women to learn a lot of handwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn a lot of small things you think is small, but they are not as small as you think. Like
mm-hmm.
I do the Bamenda marking. I learned it because I love it.
And so, you design your own dresses.
And I design my dresses. So it's good. We do everything with our hands, talents. Do everything that you think will make you happy and make the society, you know, become what we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot rely only on the government.
Yeah,
we
certainly.
Should make the country the way we want it to be.
Well, thank you very much, Reverend Dr. Memo Caroline Shekina. It was a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. Well, thank you equally, dear listeners, for staying with us throughout the program. I have been Rani Bell Sato, and we had Lawrence Wingo behind the dashboard, who was technically coordinating this edition, and supervision was coming in from station manager Mukun Johnny Nelson. And on to the next edition, we wish you a pleasant day in the company of our programs.